Now, on this InvestTalk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions.
Okay, we're going to go talk to Gene in Raleigh, North Carolina.
In past shows, you've always talked about relocating from a high-cost state to a lower-cost state. And I'm wondering, have you seen any trends?
And provides unbiased answers.
One of the destinations people like is Panama. Now, I don't think I could take Panama because of the humidity, but you can live right on the water and pretty reasonably.
InvestTalk. Over 32 million downloads and counting. Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. And thank you for being with me. I appreciate it. And of course, I always start off the show the same way with our mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And I will endeavor to give you the facts based on what I have in front of me. I have lots of software that I pull up when you ask about a stock or a mutual fund or ETF, I pull up the information on various pieces of software. Now, some not all stocks, you know, are listed in the software I have, because if you ask about a stock that's not on one of the United States exchanges, many times I don't have the information unless they're a foreign company trading on our exchange. So I do have lots of information, but I don't have all the information out there in the world. I just don't. So just bear that in mind, and I will let you know if I don't have it. I will endeavor to give you the facts, as I said. Facts are sometimes hard to decipher. For instance, if I talk about a company and I say, well, it's going to earn such and such per share next year, that's an estimate. I don't know if that's true. That's not a fact. That's an estimate of what the experts think they're going to make. And experts are often wrong. So just bear that in mind. But we will give the information without any bias. I have no bias one way or another about the information. I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm working today in place of, this is Thursday. Yeah, this would be a normal day for Justin. He's on vacation this week. So I'm in for Justin today. I encourage you to contact me with your investment and financial questions, anything to do with money. I'll be happy to talk to you about. And you can do that right now. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. You take the show any direction you want. As long as it's financial, I'll go with you. Okay? So give us a call. Of course, we also would get right into our voice bank questions. We like to start off pretty quickly. And again, the number is 888-99-CHART. So let's go ahead and get into the first question.
Hey, Steve or Justin, it's Robert over in Alhambra, California. I had a question in regards to Vici Properties. It's a casino and entertainment real estate investment trust. The stock has approached my buy target under $30. I have been accumulating some, but I wanted to know the opinions from the pros. So if you can please give me your answer on the show, I'll happily take it. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Vici Properties, V-I-C-I, headquarters out of New York City. It's a REIT, real estate investment trust, that owns and acquires and develops experiential real estate. I don't understand what that is. Real estate assets across gaming, hospitality, and other types of entertainment. Experiential. I don't know what that word means. It's to acquire, and just this is brand new news, to acquire MGM Growth Properties. This came out on August 4th, a week or so ago. Okay, for $17.2 billion. Now, it's a market cap of $16 billion. So it's spending more than it's worth on buying MGM properties. That's going to be a big issue to swallow. It's difficult to take that much size of a company and fold it into your company when you're smaller or about the same size. Anyways, there's lots of growth. Sales growth has increased 40, 50% in the last four or five quarters in a row. Earnings have gone up 13% this year, at least that's the expectation, to $1.85, and it's expected to go up to $1.96 next year. And it's a $30 stock, so it's around a 16-17 PE, which is not overly expensive. Return on equity is only 10%, pays a 4.8% dividend. This buying MGM for $17 billion is really going to affect the financials, and I don't know how. I don't know if that would be cash flow positive right from the get-go, or is it going to be so expensive and they got to borrow a lot of money to do it? How much debt do they have to take on? Those are the issues. So it's hard to just read these numbers and say, okay, this is a pretty decent company. I can't say that because of the purchase of the huge MGM deal. Okay? Okay. Let's see. 888, I got a definition on experiential. It's an adjective pertaining to or derived from experience. So it's talking about, so it acquires and develops experiential real estate. In other words, gaming, entertainment of some kind, and hospitality properties. MGM, of course, is gambling. Okay, 888-99-CHARTER is our number. My focus point today is concerns a story about Apple and Google. Are they the targets of more and more legislation? Matter of fact, there's some new legislation out just recently, and they're both the targets of it. So we're going to talk about that. Okay, I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I think it's going to be continuous for all those big Facebook, Apple, not Netflix, Google, Twitter, those companies are going to have lots of legislation pertaining to them. It's just going to continue. Hold on a sec. Excuse me. I had to sneeze. I also want to talk about the infrastructure bill. You know, there's 2,702 pages of that bill. I wonder how many politicians actually read the bill. I bet you not even 10% of them did. But we'll talk about it. Did you see the article about two major ports in China shut down? Now, I talked about another situation with the backup of the ports in China, but this is new, and it's because of COVID. Two additional ports, not the whole port, but parts of the port shutting down. And we got the PPI number today. That's the producer price index. We talked about the consumer price index that came in yesterday, and I talked about that. But this is the producer price index, costs at the producer level. And when the costs go up the producer level, of course, they pass those on to us eventually to the consumer. So we're going to talk about that briefly today, too. But you drive the show. You tell me where you want to take it. My trivia question today, some of the myths that people seem to hold about their prospects for becoming millionaires. You know, it's not hard to become a millionaire. People think it's impossible. Nah. It takes time, though. It takes discipline, and you have to spend less than you earn all the time. You got to self-sacrifice. And we Americans are not too good about that. We are not. So, but that's going to be my trivia question. And how did the market do today? Well, it was up. Big whopping 15 points for the Dow, 51 points for the NASDAQ, and 13 points for the S&P. So the Dow was the weakest point. But, you know, that's a little bit of a change. In other words, we've had mixed market days in the last few days. And today, but all the major indexes were up, but not a lot for the Dow. So, I really think this Delta variant for COVID is starting to get into people's minds, and I'm talking about the investors' minds. And that might be why we're just kind of pausing here. It's not terrible news. The government hasn't shut down everything, but it's getting a little bit worse every day. So we'll see how that plays out. But I do think that's in the psyche. Okay, we're heading into a quick break. We're also heading toward the weekend, but we got a quick break. Only one more trading day left for this week. That's tomorrow. Of course, I'll be here. So I'm ready to take your calls right now, 888-99-CHART.
Summer's moving fast. The Labor Day holiday is already on the horizon, and you can't afford to lose focus. So have your finance and investment questions ready and call Steve Peasley now. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Owen in Northern California. Owen.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
I'm wondering about the stock I've had for some time, and I picked up some more this spring. It's Green Brick, GRBK.
Okay.
I've made quite good returns on it, and looks like it's hitting a resistance level here.
It is.
I was just thinking about maybe cutting my amount that I have in it in half or so. What do you think about that?
I think you should. I think it's time to take profits. Green Brick Partners, Inc., everybody, owns, develops, and sells land and builds single-family homes in Dallas and Atlantic markets. It's had a very good run to $26 from around a base of around $10, $11. So, it's done very good, very well. And your thinking is correct, Owen, that many people think to buy when it's at this price because it's done so well. Well, that's not a reason to buy because it's done so well. Think about it this way. Do you think real estate has begun to slow down? Has it topped, in other words? And I think it has. I think we have seen a top. It doesn't mean it's going to crash. It's not. I don't think it is. I just think that all the good news is built into the prices of these kinds of stocks, so it's time to maybe cut the position. Not necessarily sell out, but at least cut. So, yeah, I'm all for it. You know, it's going to make $3.87 next year. It's a $26 stock. So it looks pretty cheap on that basis, right? It does. But it's never had a high PE. The five-year range is 4 to 14. So it's never had the high PE. So, I don't know. Good return on equity, good cash flow. I take profits. Management owns 5%. All those are good things. It's a great company. Nothing wrong with it. But it's probably time to take some off the table. Thanks, Owen, for the call. Appreciate it. Saeed in Oakland. Hi, Saeed.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, great, great. I'm looking at Nail, like an e-car company, and they just came up with the earning yesterday, and they're doing better, and they're coming up with a new product. What do you take in this company? You think this is the next Tesla?
Well, it could be. This is the Chinese manufacturer and sells electric vehicles, parts, as well as provides batteries, charging services. It's a Chinese electric car company. Okay, one of the biggest, or if not the biggest. It's not making money, hasn't made money, and like Tesla, sales are doing great. Sales growth 149% the most recent quarter. Before that was 500% sales growth. Before that 150. Before that 160. Before that 140. So huge, fast sales growth. So there is going to be a point where it will turn and make profits. But it's a $42 stock not making any money. So it's a momentum stock. And it looks like it's slowed down. It looks like a lot of the good news is already built into the price. It got to a high of around $66 a share back in December, and now it's 42, but it got a low of 31, so it's coming slowly back up. I don't know. I don't like Chinese stocks because the transparency in their numbers is not clear. This is Invest Talk, and I'm Steve Peasley. So why are we here today? Well, I'm doing this podcast and radio show, and I like doing it. I know people need and want effective strategies, want help in figuring out what's going on. They want to know how to deal with the market volatility. all those kinds of things. I'm here to help. We're heading into a break, and the InvestTalk Anytime listener line number is open, 888-99-CHART.
The market is constantly changing, and you've got to be ready to react. You'll have questions. Steve and Justin have answers. So listen live or download the free InvestTalk podcasts. The InvestTalk Anytime listener line never closes. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, we're going to go talk to Jean in Raleigh, North Carolina, relocating to a retirement spot. Are you there, Jean, or are you still moving?
Oh, no, it's a couple of years away, but I was curious. In the past, you know, you've talked about, in past shows, you've always talked about relocating from a high-cost state to a lower-cost state. And I'm wondering, have you seen any trends in the people you're dealing with, or you've heard the news about people moving out of the country to particular areas for retirement to lower the cost, particularly areas in Mexico or Canada or even other countries?
Yeah. Well, we call those expats. But I have a client. She lives in Oklahoma, which is not a high-cost place. But she likes to go to Mexico in the winter because it's so cold in Oklahoma. So that's what she does. And the cost is really, really low for her to lease a place for like 3 or 4 months, 5 months in Mexico. But there's also people that move completely out of the country and don't plan on coming back. I even talked about earlier this week or late last week about people, billionaires, moving out of the country and getting rid of their U.S. citizenship because of the high taxes. But one of the destinations people like is Panama. Now, I don't think I could take Panama because of the humidity. But you can live right on the water, lots of islands, and pretty reasonably. And people like it because they use U.S. dollar, they speak English, that kind of thing. So it's easy. I also had a client who moved to the Philippines. And he doesn't make much money. He wasn't wealthy. Doesn't have a lot of retirement money. So he moved there. He can live very well on his Social Security alone in the Philippines. So, people move.
Two tips. I did hear about the Philippines, and I think in general what I heard is two good tips is to understand the entire season of wherever you live, the weather, and also know what type of rules apply to foreigners who own properties.
Yeah, some places won't let you buy property. Some places won't let you in at all. Europe, a lot of places, you can't move to Europe. You just can't drop and say, I'm going to go move to France. You can't do that. They have very strict rules in various countries in Europe.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Saeed in Oakland. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking up too high. Hi, Emilios. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Good. I wanted to know why Rio went down today. Is this a good buying point?
Let's see. I don't think it didn't go down that much. Did you think it dropped a lot?
I thought it was 4%, maybe a little more.
I think it only went down, ended up being down only like 2%. Let's see if I can find some news real quick. Rio, everybody, is Rio Tinto. RIO is a symbol. It's a UK-based company with global interest in mining metals and industrials and minerals. I will say this, Emilios. I think, as I said before, the COVID variant is starting to affect investors' psyche. That might be the cause for the next pullback. And it's possible that we're seeing it, and because the market's just stalled. I don't know if you noticed, really, it's not really doing anything. And the news is getting worse and worse. So we'll have to see. But there is no, I can't see nothing that would make it any different. $79 stock going to make $15 a share this year, and then only $11 a share next year. But we already knew that. And it pays a high dividend. So I don't know. I don't see anything. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks for the call, Emilios.
My focus point today concerns this story. Apple and Google are the targets of proposed legislation. So there's a bill that's been proposed. Let me pull this up. Bipartisan bill that's targeting Google and Apple's ability to profit from app stores. See, they're the only two major companies that have app stores, and they control a lot of almost the entire new app business. You have to go to them if you're going to be successful developing app stores. So the bill led by Marshall Blackburn, a Republican, and Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat, aims to inject more competition in the app store market. App developers have complained to Congress of allegedly unfair treatment by Apple and Google. You have to pay 15 to 30 something percent of every sale you make on Google or Apple platforms, which is really expensive, right? There's going to be more and more of this kind of legislation, I think. I really do believe that. Okay, investors share a common objective. They want to achieve financial freedom. We all do. We all want that kind of security. But do most investors also dream of becoming millionaires or even multimillionaires? Well, they probably do. So as we go to break, here's my trivia question. Can you name some of the myths concerning what it takes to become a millionaire? After break, I'll supply the answer. For now, my phone lines are open, and I encourage you to give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today. At this point, I think almost everyone has heard how generative AI promises to bring us to the next industrial revolution. AI is already shaping society with an impact on daily life that echoes the transformative significance of electricity or the internet. As we take steps to embrace the potential of generative AI, we need to remain vigilant with regard to its exploitability. This is where HackerOne comes in. HackerOne's AI Red Team addresses the novel challenges of AI safety and security for businesses that are launching new AI deployments. The HackerOne approach involves targeted offensive testing by harnessing the collective skills of ethical hackers who are proficient in AI and prompt hacking. In short, AI red teaming is the practice of stress testing AI models and deployments to make sure they can't be tricked into providing information beyond their intended use, and that security flaws can't be exploited to access confidential data or systems. HackerOne seamlessly integrates with your existing tools to enhance communication and collaboration across development, security, and IT teams. So, stay ahead of the game in the battle against cyber threats with HackerOne's attack resistance platform. Learn more at HackerOne.com. That's HackerOne.com, HackerOne.com.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the break, I gave you a trivia question. Can you name some of the myths concerning what it takes to become a millionaire? Now, a lot of retirement planning articles suggest that you need $1 million to retire securely. Well, that, of course, depends on where you live. So we know that's true for, as I said, where you live. For some people, don't need that kind of money. Well, we'll see. Getting to $1 million is a desirable milestone for everybody. We all want to be millionaires. We do. So here are some of the myths. You need to be born into money. That's false. There's no doubt that it's easier to make money when you currently have money or you're going to inherit it, but it's not necessary. According to Fidelity's Millionaire Outlook study, the vast majority, 82% of millionaires are self-made. They did not inherit money. They built their own wealth themselves. Now, I've told you that over and over and over and over again. You can do it. You can. You just got to be dedicated. It takes time. Okay, if you have a high salary, you are set for life. False. You may have read the seemingly pathetic sob stories of families who make $350,000 a year who say they're just getting by. Well, when you are making a lot of money, it is easy to spend a lot of money. And your living standards are pretty high, and therefore you don't save and invest money. Some, but not enough. People spend what they earn. It's all luck. That's false. You have to work at it. It's hard work becoming a millionaire. It's not luck. It's not. You can get lucky and you can get unlucky. That's all true. But basically, it's hard work, dedication. You don't have to take huge risks. You don't, but you got to take some risks. Okay? You have to make all of your money before you retire. Not necessarily. You can make a lot of money in retirement. You know, maybe we are all asking the wrong question. Retirement does not necessarily need to be the time of decreasing wealth. It means doing what you want to do. You can actually improve your financial condition in retirement in your golden years. So those are some of the myths, everybody. You can do it. You know, it's not that. Okay. I say it's not that difficult. Probably that's a misstatement because it is difficult to change your habits so your money makes money for you instead of you making money. Let the money make the money. So how do I get to that point? By spending less than you earn. And that less part, save and invest it. That money will make you money. And that pot will grow. And how fast it grows depends on you. All right? It really does. Okay, let's go to Eric in Virginia Beach. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how are you doing, Steve?
I'm great, and I appreciate the call.
Awesome. Yeah, I was just curious about Albertsons. I'm sure you saw the other day when it popped up about the news. I think they hired a new president. So what I ended up doing was I shorted my position to try to lock in the gains. But I was just curious, in your experience, does news like that tend to last? Does that tend to stick around?
No, it does not. A new CEO is great. There's lots of hype and excitement that he'll take the company in a better direction. But all that will all sort of flitter away over the next few months. So it's, when you have something spike like this, this is Albertsons companies, everybody. They have 2,277 grocery stores. They're a big company. They're $14 billion. And their stock popped up sharply. It was already based around $22 or so, $21, $22. And then in 3 or 4 days, it went from like $23, $24 to $29, which people might say, well, that's not that much. Sure, look at the percent. That's like 20% plus. Yeah, that's a lot. Okay, so if it was me, and I still like Albertsons, you want to still own it, I might cut my position in half, wait for the pull back down, then buy it back. You know, if it was me, I would play it, because I don't think it'll go straight up from here. It is very rare that that happens. Might be in a big tech company with lots and lots of growth, but this is Albertsons, hardly any growth. So I'd probably play the trade. Appreciate the call, Eric. Thank you. Let's quickly move to another caller question from the InvestTalk Voice Bank, 888-99-CHART.
This is Daniel from Houston calling. Question about Weight Watchers, a stock ticker WW. Have a position in this stock for their Q2. They had not as quick revenue growth, so it's taken quite a tumble. Question is, should I stay in it, or what are your thoughts on this stock in the medium and long term? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, this is Weight Watchers. WW International provides weight control programs through weekly meetings to about 3 million members around the world. I don't really care for the stock. They're going to make $1.69 this year, down from $1.71 last year, $1.79 the year before, and the year before at $2.72. Next year, they're going to make a nice bump in the profits, $2.26. It's a $23.93 stock, so it's like 11, 12 P.E., But don't get carried away saying, oh, that's a really good value. No, because the five-year range is 5 to 46. So it's not necessarily cheap. Okay? It's reasonably priced. I think it's reasonably priced where it is. But it doesn't pay a dividend, and there's not, you know, the sales growth has been shrinking. The sales have been shrinking 5 quarters in a row. I wouldn't, you know, first of all, it's an industry that's not very exciting. There's nothing new about it. It's been around a long time. They don't have any catalysts, and the sales are shrinking. It's not for me. I'd be out. I'd be gone. You know, if it paid a huge dividend, then maybe I can handle the weakness in the stock, the weakness of the sales. But now they got to turn that around. You know, the sales got to turn around. That's the only way you're going to increase earnings. Let's quickly move to another caller question from the InvestTalk Voice Bank question, okay? Let's make it a triple play.
Hey, Stephen, Justin, David here from Chicago. I'm a pretty new investor. Thank you guys for the show. Really appreciate it. I have a quick question. Let's say I bought into a position a little bit over a year ago, let's say January, and then let's say I added to that position in October. And since I, you know, held shares for over a year, and I, let's say, I took some profits off the table February of this year, do you guys know what I would be taxed at? You know, since I held for over a year, is it at a lower taxable bracket? Or since, you know, I added to the position in October and didn't hold all shares for over a year, you know, would I be taxed higher? Well, I'll be looking forward to the answer on the show. And, again, really appreciate your guys' show. Thank you, guys.
Okay, the rule is usually first in, first out, okay? So if you sold a partial position, then you would apply the original cost basis from the original purchase to the shares you sold, okay? But if you sold all of them, you have to figure out, okay, here's my cost basis for this group of stocks I bought, here's the cost basis for the second group of stock I bought, and here's my profit or loss. Is it long-term? Only for those stocks that are held long-term. The stocks were short-term, that short-term profit or loss, long-term profit or loss. So, yeah, you got to apply long-term to long-term, short-term to short-term, and you got to, you know, first in, first out rule. First stocks you bought are the first stocks sold if you sold a partial position. Okay, and call me if that is not clear, or send me an email and I'll try to explain it more succinctly, okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So we have the PPI, Producer Price Index, inflation gauge at the producer level today came out. We also have the CPI, Consumer Price Index, both overall and core, and I mentioned that yesterday. And if you remember right, the month before on the CPI was up 1%, which is pretty high for inflation. And the most recent month, July, it got cut to up 0.5%. And you think, oh, that's much better. It is much better, but it's still pretty high inflation. And the core rate was 0.3%. Okay, so today we got the producer price index number. Producer price index number, up 1%. They expected it to be up 0.6%, but it came in up 1%. Remember, the month before, it was 1%. So inflation at the producer level is still increasing. Tomorrow, we're going to have import prices. They're expecting to be up 0.6%, just like they expected the PPI. And it was up 1% the month before, like it was for the PPI and the CPI. So I don't see inflation, you know, going away. The pressure may be coming off, and that is actually what the Fed say it would. But we're still, our inflation rate is over 100% higher it was pre-COVID. 100% higher. I don't think it's going to go back to pre-COVID times. I think it's going to stay with us. I think we're going to see some inflation. One of the reasons is we're still having supply chain problems all over the world. More so in China. There's more information about two major ports there, China and Ningbo, where they had some COVID people in part of the, you know, part of those ports, and they shut that part down. So they're having a backlog of tankers. And I don't know if you noticed, you probably haven't, but here in California, we get a lot of container ships coming in Long Beach Harbor, which is up this road from me for about an hour or so. And we got 30 tankers or so waiting to get into the harbor, backed up. And it's been like that for some time. So we got problems still with the supply chain all over the place. Okay, we seem to be moving through August pretty fast. You know, and as it seems like time goes by fast for everything. That's one reason why I think it's smart to slow down for a moment and reflect on where we are as investors. And where are we going? We're dealing with a lot of volatility. You know, we're in the middle of summers. August used to be the best month of the year, but from 1987 to today, it's been the worst month of the year. So it hasn't done much yet, and we're out August 12th. Okay. On almost every podcast, I do like to remind listeners about the benefits of KPP Financial. You know, Justin Klein and I offer money management services. We are registered investment advisors. We're in Orange County, California, between LA and San Diego, on the West Coast here. One of the main benefits we provide, the thing that I think is a very good, you know, selling point for us and very good for our clients, is we practice parallel investing. That means I buy and sell the same things for myself as I do for you at the same price, same percentage of the portfolios, and all my money's in all the different programs I have. We have 5 different programs. So I am on the same side of the table as you are when it comes to what stocks I buy and sell and when and how much. So I think that's a very good point to make. You can call our California offices in Irvine, California. You can send us an email, ask us to take a look at your portfolio, or ask us what about our services. Or if you just want us to look at your portfolio, we'll do that. We there's no obligation. We'll tell you what we think. We need to know a little bit about you, how aggressive you want to be, and to compare that with what you have and see if it matches your aggressiveness, your personal aggressiveness. Maybe you don't want to be very aggressive. Maybe you want to be very aggressive. I don't know until I know a little bit about you. But we'll be happy to take a look at your portfolio and give you our opinion. If you want us just to take a look at and give your opinion on it, you can do that. Send me an email, attach your portfolio, and we'll take a look at it. Okay? Next up, we will play a caller question from a listener in New York, Buffalo, New York, here on InvestTalk.
Our InvestTalk mission
is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hey, my name's Johnny from Buffalo, New York, longtime listener. I wanted to get your input on GMRE, Global Medical REIT. It's relatively smaller, around $950 million market cap, but it pays a good dividend. So I do like the medical REIT space, but I would love your opinion on it. So have a wonderful day, guys. Thank you.
Okay, Global Medical REIT, real estate investment trust, REIT that owns and leases 68 state-of-the-art, purpose-built healthcare facilities across the United States. And I like that space a lot. And you're right, it's about a $900 million market cap. So that'd be small company. They're growing sales in the 28, 26%, 22%. I mean, it hasn't been lower than 22% in 2 years per quarter, 22% per quarter. So I like that. They have some debt because it's a REIT and they're buying properties and or building properties. The yield is 5.5%. Can they afford to do that? Well, it's a $14 stock and 5% is about 70 cents a share and they make $1.08. So yeah, they can afford to do that. Remember, as a REIT, you have to pay 90% of the earnings out to the shareholders to be qualified to be a REIT. So 90% of $1.08 is 90 cents or so. So yeah, that's doable. That's the percentage. I like it. I see no reason to get rid of it. I'd hold on to it. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here. Same goal I talk about every day, and that's to achieve financial freedom. And you can do it. You can become a millionaire. You can. Give me a call. I'll help you with it. 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced? Or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Robert in Pleasanton, California. Pleasanton is a very nice area to live, by the way. Robert.
Hey there, Steve. Hey, so as I'm kind of trying to transition my portfolio into more dividend-paying stocks, looking at AGNC, it's a mortgage REIT.
Okay.
Got a very healthy yield. I'd like to get your opinion.
Okay, this is a REIT, AGNC Investment Corp, a REIT investing in residential mortgage pass-through securities and collateralized mortgage obligations. Now, the problem I have is what they do and where we are in the real estate cycle. Okay, they have had the primo, they've been in the primo level of where the real estate is because mortgage rates have gone down. So remember what they do. They're mortgage pass-through securities. When interest rates start to flatten out or go up, their earnings are not going to be as impressive. If you look at their history, you'll see that the stock price is very volatile, up and down over the years, because it's tracked to the mortgage rate. It's difficult. So don't fall in love with that 8.8% yield. 2 years from now, you won't be getting 8.8%. So if you're looking for something to give you a good, steady income, I wouldn't rely on these kinds of REITs, the ones that are tied to a mortgage pass-through collateralized mortgages, because that, you know, they don't own property and things. So I it's nothing wrong with the company. It's a good, solid company, but I think that their good numbers are behind them. They already had them. So they're going to make good money this year, and they're going to make good money next year too. But, you know, don't rely on it long-term for income, okay? I just don't think that will be there for you. Thanks for the call, Robert. Appreciate it. Okay. So the two major ports in China were Shanghai and Ningbo, and they shut those down. Remember I talked about it earlier in the week about another Chinese, or was it last week? I can't remember. Another Chinese port that is having trouble. They shut the whole thing down. So we're going to have more disruptions in the chain, economic chain across the world. So just be aware of that. The infrastructure bill was just passed, 2,702-page bill that I bet you hardly any of the senators and congressmen ever read, so they don't even know what they passed. But some of the highlights, $110 goes for roads, bridges, and major highway and vehicle type of structures. $105 billion to public transit, which we're talking about freight and Amtrak, which I think is a total waste of money going to Amtrak. Freight I'm on, no problem with, but passenger trains, they lose money every year. $73 billion to power infrastructure, power companies, I'm okay with that. $65 billion for high-speed internet, I'm actually okay with that. $55 billion for clean water. But there's like $50 billion for other things, $25 billion for airports, $65 billion for other things that are not necessarily so we're talking over well over $100 billion is not, to me, transportation related. So of the $1 trillion, 10-15% is probably boondoggle kind of stuff. That's what my opinion is. Anyways, we'll see if that works out. Just not keen on we spending so much money and going into so deep a debt. We need infrastructure. I'm not complaining about that. We need it. But there's so much other money we're wasting. And it's going to come due. It's not like free money. We don't have to worry about it. Now, it won't come due while I'm still alive. But our children, grandchildren, they're going to have to deal with it. They're just going to have to. Not us. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get them anytime from iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, InvestTalk.com. Download it. And if you do download it at iTunes, we would appreciate a rating. We would be very grateful for that. You can also browse our podcast by topics. For example, and I've given you many examples, cryptocurrency, treasuries, 401ks, Chinese stocks, labor market, interest rates, whatever. Independent thinking and shared success, everybody. Have a great weekend. This is InvestTalk. Good night. Oh.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.